So, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us for our perspectives on Pesach. I wanted to talk about a little bit the idea of Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh, as related to Yahadus in general, we're people who live with Mesiras Nefesh, we're people who give our lives for Mesiras Nefesh, we're people who involve every aspect from the time when we're born, when a little boy has a bris milah, till the time that there's certain circumstances a person's moser nefesh for avodas Hashem and to give their lives al kiddush Hashem, and everywhere in between we always have the opportunity to serve Hashem with mesiras nefesh. But I want to direct it very specifically to a very unique mesiras nefesh that was shown at the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach, we have something very unusual. We have HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us in Parshas Bo that you should take the dam from the Korban Pesach and you should put it on the mashkof and on the shtei mezuzos, on the lintel, on the two doorposts. And the pasuk says, V'ra'isi es hadam v'pasachti aleichem. I'll see the blood there and I'll, of course, pass over you. I'll jump over you. And then you won't, B'nai Yisrael will not die in Makas Bechos. Now the obvious question is, Hashem really needs to see the dam? If Hashem wouldn't see the dam on outside of our doors, He wouldn't know this is a Jewish house. You know, they tell the joke about the garbage man who drives by the streets after the Pesach Seder. He sees the houses that have, six bottles. Every other house has six bottles. He knows it's the Jewish house. Every house that has all the garbage bags, he knows that's the Jewish house outside. So what the garbage man knows, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does know, he doesn't know which is the Jewish houses. But more than that, if you look at the Mechilta, the Medrash comments that there was a gigantic machlokas among the Tanoim whether the mitzvah of putting the blood on the lintel was on the outside of the house, on the inside of the house. So if you assume that it's supposed to be on the inside of the house, so it makes our question even stronger. Hashem doesn't need to see it. And even if Hashem does need to see it, well, if you put it on the inside of the door, so Hashem can't see it anyway from the outside. So clearly, it's not that Hashem could see it. So what's really the point of putting the dam on the doorposts? It's clearly not so that Hashem knows which house is Jewish, which house is not Jewish. There must be something much more significant about why we're supposed to put the dam on the mashkov. And the reason is, the answer is, very simple. It's not because Hashem needs to identify and would only be able to figure out which house is a Jewish house by putting down the mashkov. It's that Hashem wanted us to do something, to put ourselves out, to be moser nefesh, to do something that pushes us beyond, that stretches our limits. And when He sees that we stretch our limits and we go out on a limb for Him, kevayachol, then He's going to be ready to reciprocate and give us a Yeshua and give us a Geula. And I'll explain what I mean. When we talk about the Korban Pesach, that from which the dam had to be taken and put on the doorposts, there are a number of very unusual halachos that we don't find by any other korban. Number one, the way it's cooked. Al tochlu mimenu na. It can't be raw. It can't be medium rare. You go to the restaurant and the waiter asks you, how do you like your steak? So some people say, well done. Some people say, rare. Some people say, medium rare. Some people say, medium. Sorry. When it comes to the Korban Pesach, that meat has to be cooked, fully cooked. Al tochlu mimenu na. It can't be somewhat raw. It has to be fully cooked. Then the Torah says, and I don't want you to boil it. I don't want you to stew it. I want it to be barbecued. Tzli'esh. And I don't want you to, cut it up into pieces. We have other korbanos where the korban is cut into pieces and then it's cooked and then it's consumed. The nazir, for example, the nazir has to take a piece of the animal from his korban and cook it up in a pot of water and boil it up. Sorry. Here, rosho al kra'av, fa'al kirbo, you have to take the whole entire korban Pesach, put it on a spit and roast the whole animal as it is. And then you have to put it, of course, on the mashkof. And you sort of wonder, why are there these very unusual halachas about the Korban Pesach that apply only to a Korban Pesach? And I want to share with you an incredible perspective that is offered by one of the Rishonim, the Da'as Zakein and Ba'ali HaTosfos. And a similar message is echoed by the Chizkuni on the Psukim in Bo that talk about Korban Pesach. And the theme that they put forth is one point, and we'll see how this one point fits into all the various halachas of the Korban Pesach. The theme is a theme that has been spoken about before, but we'll see how it fits with every detail of the Korban Pesach, and that is that we know that the Egyptians deified sheep. It was their god. And therefore, we were their slaves, they are our taskmasters, and we're going to take that which our taskmasters consider to be deities and slaughter it in front of their face and eat it and roast it in front of their face. And that involved an incredible amount of mesiris nefesh. When you had people, I had a cousin who went to one of the Arab countries a number of years ago. He had to go on business, and he didn't have to have a choice. He had to go on business. He said, of course, he's not going to wear his yarmulke, he'll wear a baseball cap, but what about his tefillin? How's he going to pack his tefillin in his suitcase? Don't worry, he'll put his underwear on top of the tefillin and cover it over. I don't know how covetic it is, but he didn't have a choice, and he'll hide it underneath the bottom. You know, you talk about scary. A person's terrified that even there's a traveler just passing through an airport, scared the customs officials, are going to cause him problems. Imagine if you take the god of your taskmaster, the guy who just year ago, you know, a guy who yesterday was beating you and beating you and beating you and beating you, and you're going to take that which he cherishes most, that which he holds as most sacred, and you're going to slaughter it in his face? That's a terrifying thing. There was an incredible level of mesiris nefesh that the Jewish people had to not just endure, but had to demonstrate by sacrificing the Korban Pesach. And that's what Hashem wanted to see. Hashem wanted to see the mesiris nefesh that we have. That was what he was interested in putting the dam. Not so that he could know who's Jewish and who's not Jewish. Hashem is omniscient. Hashem doesn't need our you know, he doesn't need the mezuzah on the door to know if the mashiach looks for the mezuzahs to see if he should knock on the door or not. Hashem doesn't need a mezuzah on the door to know if you're Jewish. He knows if we're Jewish. But he wanted to see us with our mesiris nefesh. And let me show you how the Da'as Zakenim goes through the pasuk explaining that every one of the halachos that relates to the Korban Pesach is an added dimension of our mesiris nefesh to bring that which they deified, that which our taskmasters, our bosses deified, and we go ahead and we slaughter it in their faces. Number one, Al tochlu mimenu na. The pasuk says you can't eat it raw. Now let me ask you, you'd think, let's say you're doing something that you don't want to be caught. You're doing something secretly, clandestinely. So you try to do it as quickly as possible. Let's say the Torah said that you have to cook this Korban Pesach. Okay, cook it, but cook it quickly. You know, okay, it's already rare. Fine, get it off the flame. Let's put it away. Sorry. The Torah says, Al tochlu mimenu na. They shouldn't come. If they come in, they're going to find it there. You're not going to be able to get rid of it really quick or get rid of the evidence as fast as you can. Fully cooked. Okay, fine, I'll cook it. But I have a way to cook it. Maybe I'll cook it in a pot so that even if an Egyptian would happen to come into my house, he doesn't know what I have in the pot. Maybe I have a carrot soup. Maybe I'm cooking up some cream of broccoli soup. He doesn't know what's in my pot. He doesn't know that his God is slaughtered and sliced up in my pot. Sorry. Al tochlu mimenu na uvashem uvashal b'mayim. You're not allowed to cook it up in a pot. You're not allowed to boil it. Rather, tzli'esh, says the Chizkuni. Why tzli'esh? Why does it have to specifically be barbecued? Says the Chizkuni. You walk down the block in the springtime, right? The spring is starting to start and we're going to start smelling the barbecue. The summer's coming. A block away, two blocks away, you could already smell the barbecue. Says the Chizkuni, that's what Hashem wanted us to do. To grill it on a barbecue, tzli'esh, so that what? So that all the mitzvah will smell it from a mile away. They'll know that we're doing it. We're not going to be able to hide. We're not going to be able to be ashamed and be scared. We're going to do it out as publicly as we can. They're going to smell it from a mile away. And they come closer, and maybe you try to think, cut it up into small pieces so they won't realize that it's really their God that we're slaughtering, that we're sacrificing. Rosho al-Kra'av al-Kribo, the Torah says. The entire animal in its fullness has to be roasted in its full form. So there's no running away, there's no hiding. When are you supposed to do this? The pasuk continues and says, Va'achlu es habasar ba'layla. During the daytime, everyone's out in the field. At night, people are home. You're going to eat it at night when everyone's in the city. Everyone's in their houses. You're going to eat it. There's no running away. You're going to put it up on the mezuzos, ashtei mezuzos, so that even the people who weren't here during the afternoon when you did the shechita, they'll see the blood there later. The point is to make this so public that you can't escape doing it in the face of the mitzvah. And not only that, continues the Chizkuni. The pasuk continues, Amatzos v'amirorim yachluhu. You're going to take the god, slaughter, and eat it with what? You're not going to eat it with honey. You're not going to eat it with a you know, a sweet pea, you know, a delicate salt, fig sauce. You're going to have it on maror, with something disgusting, something bitter, something unpleasant. And they're going to see you not only eating their what they see as God, but with some unpleasant, bitter flavored food. Continues the pasuk, "Vloso siru mimenu ad boka." You can't leave leftovers. That's called the Isser d'Orais of Nosar. Nosar means you can't have leftovers from Korbanos. And why can't you have any leftovers of the Korban Pesach? Whatever you have left, what do you have to do? But eish tisrofer, burn it, incinerate it. Show that it's a derech bizayon that you're treating it with. You're treating it with it in a shameful, degrading way. And not only that, but how are you supposed to eat it? At least in Pesach Mitzrayim, kacha tochlo so, b'chipazon, you eat it quickly with chipazon, we're ready to run. You don't eat it in a kavadik way, in a menschlich kavadik way. You eat it in a way of like speedy, getting ready to run out and to do it as quickly as you can to show that you're treating it with degradation. All of these aspects of the pasuk, says the Chizkuni, says the Da'as Kir Bal Yatozos, are all ways to show even more how much we are willing to degrade their God in their face, even though we're absolutely terrified. These are the people who were beating us yesterday. Rav Soloveitchik had a beautiful line that he writes in Festival of Freedom. He says, Hashem doesn't want to necessarily see the blood to know if you're Jewish. Hashem wants to see your sacrifice, your transformation, your wondrous courage, your willingness to conquer your fear. And when you have displayed gvura in conquering your fear and your will, then Hashem will distinguish between you and the Egyptians and reveal his trait of gvura. Hashem will reveal his restraint. In other words, when we act in our Kiyum HaMitzos with Gevura, Hashem also acts with Gevura to us. When we are most enough for his mitzvos, he can shower us with Rachamim. And maybe that might be an interesting insight. We know that there's another unique halacha, that an arel lo yochal bo. A person didn't get the bris milah is not allowed to eat a korban pesach. But more than that, we know that we say in the Haggadah, the Pasuk, referring to Yitzias Mitzrayim, that Hashem says, I see you wallowing in your bloods, plural, bloods, and the repetition of the word twice. What is the two dams referred to in that pasuk? As we say in the Megillah, b'dam milah u'b'dam pesach. And Chazal say that when they would place the dam on that lintel of the mashkof of the houses of the dam pesach, it wasn't just the Dan Pesach. They all got a bris milah that same day or that same week. And they took some of the dam from their bris milah and they put that also on the lintel. And again, the point is not to show who's Jewish, who's not Jewish. The point is to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look how we are moser nefesh for you, Hashem. We're willing to do the bris, the dam milah. We're willing to do the Dan Pesach, even at the incredible danger of us being caught. Not just caught, we're doing it in their faces. We're taking their God in their faces and slaughtering it. And look, HaKadosh Baruch, we're moser nefesh to you. And we take those two dams, we shall HaKadosh Baruch Hu our mesiras nefesh. If that's the case, what's the idea that an arel lo yochal bo, that somebody who didn't get a bris milah, is not able to participate in the Korban Pesach? Because somebody, a man who doesn't get a bris milah, doesn't have that level of mesiras nefesh to demonstrate his sacrifice to Hashem by getting the bris milah, that person doesn't deserve to bring the Korban Pesach either. Because the whole point of the Korban Pesach is that demonstration of Mesiras Nefesh to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu the stuff that we're made out of. You know, there's a very questionable story. It's a powerful story. There are a lot of different ways you could look at it. And we'll at least take one perspective from this story. There was a small city, not a medium-sized city, about 38 miles outside of Krakow in Poland. It was called Begin, and the Nazis renamed it Benzburg. And they had a very significant Jewish population, about 50% Jewish. And the Jewish population had been in that city since the 1200s. And when September 1939 came around, it was under Russian, that part of Russia was under Russian control. And the Russian authorities issued a decree that every Jew has to carry identification papers, identifying them as Jews. Otherwise, they'll be sent to Siberia. And Shabbos is no exception. And given the circumstances, of course, the Rabbanu gave a heter that you're allowed to, I don't know what the, if there was an Eruv, there was no Eruv, if the sheets, the ID papers were mukta, not mukta. But either way, a matter of pikuach nefesh, the Rabbanu all gave a heter, you're allowed to carry these papers. Maybe they carry them with a shinui, so it wouldn't be, it would all be nesed Rabbanu to carry the papers. But there was one Jew in the city who refused to rely on this heter. And he said he's willing to be moser nefesh for Shabbos. His family tried to persuade him, to dissuade him, but to no avail. He was absolutely resolute in his convictions. Shabbos, keeping Shabbos can never hurt a Jew. As luck would have it, Shabbos, September 2nd, the Russian soldiers burst into shul and demand papers. And this Jew, who was told this story a few years later, to Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, the Rav of Ramat Hanan in Bnei Brak, didn't have his papers. He was in that shul, didn't have his papers, he was dragged to the headquarters, and he was taken with along with his family, and sent to Siberia. My mother-in-law, who's on this call, has a similar story with her mother. Also, in Poland, sent to Siberia, and his family was furious at him. Why were you being so obstinate? The rabbi said you could, why didn't you just do what you have to do, and why are you being so obstinate to keep Shabbos just so perfectly? And for this, we were all getting sent to Siberia, and they were besides themselves. You can't imagine the terror, the fear, Siberia, who knows, you know, what's going to happen to us there? And he responded with that same resoluteness, a Jew will not be hurt for keeping Shabbos. That was Shabbos, September 2nd, 1939. On Monday, September 4th, I'm sorry, on Sunday he was sent to Siberia, that was September 3rd, and sent out of the city on the way to Siberia on September 3rd. On Monday, September 4th, 1939, us Americans were having our Labor Day barbecues, but in Poland, the Wehrmacht, the German army, overran the area, followed by the Einsatzgruppen and the SS squads, and came in to overrun that city of Poland on September 4th, the following day, the following few days. That Shabbos, just 1 week after this fellow was in shul without his papers, the Nazis, Yimach Shemem, burned down the shul in Bijin. 200 people davening Kabbalah Shabbos were burnt there alive. Eventually, the rest of the city was sent into a ghetto, turned into a ghetto, ultimately to Auschwitz. But this Jew, who was resolute in his keeping of Shabbos, was nowhere in Bijin. He was on his way to Siberia, where ultimately his family made his way to Eretz Yisrael. There's an incredible thing that happens when a Jew is Moser Nefesh. A Jew is Moser Nefesh, goes beyond the call. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds in kind with above the call of response of Rachamim. I know my mother-in-law who's on the call, a very similar story happened to her family, that her mother was sent away from Poland to Siberia. Because she was sent to Siberia, that's why she was able to live through the war and ultimately make it to Eretz Yisrael. That's the Mesiris Nefesh of Damila. That's the Mesiris Nefesh of Korban Pesach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was interested. It's not just that Hashem wanted us to do two mitzvahs. We were ata yirom ve'eriyah. You're naked of mitzvahs. You don't have the zechus to leave Eretz Mitzrayim. Just do a mitzvah. I don't know, give tzedakah. You know, do some, you know, learn for 5 minutes. No, there had to be mitzvahs of mesiris nefesh specific. And that's why every aspect of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach was an aspect that demonstrated the mesiris nefesh of taking their God and in their face publicly slaughtering it and showing it, treating it with degradation. And that's what Bris Mila is also about. That's why these two mitzvahs, Dam Mila and Dam Pesach, which demonstrate our Mesiris Nefesh, were the ingredients that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to see in us before he was to take us out of Eretz Mitzrayim. I want to finish with a beautiful thought that I found in a Pirkei de Rebbe Elazar. Pirkei de Rebbe Elazar talks about Bris Mila and talks about the fact that Bris Mila, that Klal Yisrael didn't start doing Bris Mila. Remember, it was before that we got the Torah. But before we got the Torah, we brought the Korban Pesach, right? We got the Torah in Shavuos, and this happened 7 weeks prior. And the Torah says that before we brought the Korban Pesach, we did Bris Mila. But Bris Mila did not start then either. Bris Mila started with Avram Avinu, with Yaakov Avinu, and the sons of Yaakov Avinu did a Bris Mila. And we know from the Torah that they did a Bris Mila. How do we know from the Torah they did a Bris Mila? Because with the whole episode with when Shechem and Hamor captured Dinah, and Yaakov, I'm sorry, and the brothers of the 12 brothers, told Shechem that how could we become partners with you? you have an arla, you have a foreskin. We can't do business with, we can't have a joined society with people who haven't gotten bris milah like us. So you see already then that Klal Yisrael, the formative years of Klal Yisrael, the Avos and the 12 Shvatim already had bris milah, and Bnei Yisrael continued doing bris milah until, at some point in the Shibud Mitzrayim, Paro did not allow bris milah. Until finally, we did the bris milah at the dawn, right immediately before the Karban Pesach. The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar continues, and says the following. Why does it say in the pasuk relating to Yetzias Mitzrayim, "Vareich misbaseses b'damayich"? I see that Bnei Yisrael were wallowing in blood, and through that I redeemed you. V'omer lach b'damayich chayi, and a second time v'omer lach b'damayich chayi. You will live through this blood. You will live through this blood. So typically, you and I assume, because we're referring to two bloods, the blood of Mesiyas Nefesh of bringing the Korban Pesach, and secondly, the blood of Mesiyas Nefesh of the Bris Mila. The Pirkei Dovla says no. The first B'damayich Chayi refers to the blood of Damila, the blood of Korban Pesach that was in the time of Mitzrayim. And because of those two bloods of Mesiyas Nefesh, Hashem redeemed us. And continues the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, and bizchus the blood of Damila and Dam Pesach and Korban Pesach, I will redeem you in the future. At the end of your galus that we're Klal Yisrael find ourselves in right now, I will also redeem you. Bizchus those two bloods. I have a very simple question, my friends. I understand we have Damila nowadays, and the Damila that we do could ultimately bring our Geula, but we don't have a Korban Pesach. How could Hashem say, I will bring the Geula from the galus that we're in right now by you doing Dam Pesach? We don't have Korban Pesach. We don't have a Beis Hamikdash. We need the Geula to be able to bring the Korban Pesach. And I think with everything that we said today, we could understand very clearly. Dam Pesach is representative, along with Dam Mila, of the Koach of Mesiyas Nefesh that the Jews have. And Chazal are teaching us that there's a chus of Dam Mila and Dam Pesach. In other words, there's a chus of Mesiyas Nefesh. These two mitzvahs typify and are paradigms, or paradigmatic mitzvahs of Mesiyas Nefesh. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we live in this galus and we live with Mesiyas Nefesh for Torah, we live with Mesiyas Nefesh for mitzvahs, in that zechus HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeem us from the galus in which we find ourselves. And therefore we have to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's been a lot of Mesiyas Nefesh, a lot of generations, a lot of years, a lot of Mesiyas Nefesh on the part of Klal Yisrael, part of us as individuals. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please send us the Geula Shleima Meher V'Yameinu. Let us very quickly be able to enjoy bring the Korban Pesach where the way we should, where we should. But as Hashem, there's still time. There's still time to join my mother-in-law in Eretz Yisrael. You're already there, Iman. We could join you there, hopefully. And we could bring the Korban Pesach and Erev Pesach. There's still enough time. And let us daven that Ken Yehi Ratzon, we should be zachah very speedily. V'nochal sham in ha-psachim and ha-zvachim. I wish you all a wonderful, wonderful day. Chag kasher v'sameach. Thank you for joining, and may we be zachah.